The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Welcome, everybody, to the Federal Football Report, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com, soon to come to podcast1.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. And this is an emergency situation. Here's what's funny. Kevin's been on international travel. I've been on travel, not quite international, although it feels like it.
Might as well be. Halfway across the world, yeah.
Exactly. And so we'll cover a lot of that in the final segment. But we finally got a chance after the first week. I think the first week was the only week that we were both in studio at the same time. We were in studio this past weekend together at the same time. I did a great show. I mean, a marvelous show. Like, they're probably great. The best show we've done since doing this over the last 4 years or so. Then the Redskins fired Jay Gruden.
That night.
We were doing the show Sunday night, right after the game. And so, I mean, energy is high. Emotions are raw. And then literally we do the show. We go home. We go to sleep. And before we both woke up, Jay Gruden out as coach of the Washington Redskins. And so we're now coming to you in an emergency situation where I am at a home studio. Kevin is home on the phone, and we've got to bring you this live local late break. Because here's the thing. The temptation was to be lazy and just air the show prior to Jay Gruden being fired and just saying, hey, we recorded this before he got fired, so we're not addressing it. But no, we're not going to do that. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. We've got to bring you news as it happens. Because then, as opposed to just having one segment that's fake news or not, the whole show becomes whether it's fake news or not. Yeah. So
now it's not too late. We can still do that. We can still just hang up here and throw this 2 minutes that we have on there. But like you said, that would be just pure lazy. And we're a show of the people, right? By the people and for the people.
Right.
So the people have to know. I mean, you need to know our honest reaction to something that, quite frankly, we've wanted. Well, I have sort of anticipated for 3 years right? You know, I mean, you never want to see anybody lose their job. I've been in that circumstance before. It's not pleasant. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, the man's walking with millions of dollars in his pocket, so I can't feel so bad for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, he did not perform. Bottom line is, he did not perform. And when laymen, I mean professional people and, you know, world-renowned sports analysts like Claude and myself, every week there was a new criticism. There was the same criticism that just happened over and over again, but then it was something new. And then this year in particular, it got to the point where it got beyond the game of football. Like the thing with Adrian Peterson, that was beyond the game of football. The thing about putting Haskins in after he claimed for weeks that he wasn't ready, that was beyond the game of football, right? Not find the defensive coordinator. Oh, this is beyond football. So if you didn't see this one coming, you were looking at something else.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because, like you said, beyond the realm of football, you are dealing with a coach who, for a lot of time that he's here, deals with people and deals with what he feels are, I guess, violations or obstructions to him doing his job on the field. And a lot of things that he's done before, you look at it and you say, this goes beyond the scope of football. But then you also are dealing with an owner who does the same thing. I mean, just think about it. Who fires someone 5 o'clock in the morning? That's ridiculous. I mean, to say, hey, Kevin, I want to talk to you this morning. Want to discuss the radio show and the future on the network. Can you meet me for breakfast at 5 a.m.? That, you know, no, like that's ridiculous. That is, I'm going to fire you. And it's dysfunctional, but it's the way that this organization runs.
Yeah, you know, I've been fired in various terms, never on the spot. I've never been fired on the spot. There's always been some type of buildup. The most memorable to me was I was working for a computer company. We were maintaining computers, and bunch of guys were at lunch one day, and back in the days of pagers, everybody's pager went off except for mine. And they looked and they said it was a meeting at 2:30. Everybody except for mine. It's like five or six guys. So I called the office and said, hey, my pager didn't go off. what about this 2:30 meeting? They said, we need you here at 2:15.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Wow.
Right, right, right. So it was like a merger, and my part of the company didn't merge, right? But, you know, hey, you know, we got 2 weeks. You keep the company called for 2 weeks. You know, yeah, it was, you know, it was kind of a pleasant firing. You know, I said, hey, I can't really hate you guys, you know. But this one, you know, 5:30 in the morning, I can't think of a good reason, right? Because, first of all, if you're not in the Army, why are you getting up at 5:30? If you're not in the Army or doing drive time morning radio, why are you up at 5:30?
Right, right.
Why are you there? And not like you're sleeping there and get up and have your meeting. You got to get there. So that means you're getting up at 4. And you didn't sleep. Of course you didn't sleep, because whenever somebody calls you and says, hey, I need to talk to you, you know, that's never a good thing, right? It's never a good thing. So, yeah, it was a bizarre circumstance, but it was a fitting end to a bizarre situation.
Absolutely. So now after this happening and you look at the options, both for this season and for next season, let's start with coach and we'll work our way down through some other positions. What do you think the move is from here on out? I mean, we understand that Bill Callahan is the interim coach. What happens with the coaching position here in Washington?
Well, I'm personally satisfied with Callahan being the interim coach. I know a lot of people are looking for Kevin O'Connell to be, because he's the hot new flavor. He's sort of like the pumpkin latte of the NFL right now, you know. But you know, Bill Callahan has been the head coach before. He coached the Raiders to the Super Bowl back in the day, and that's where Bruce Allen's familiar with him, right? You know, he was the offensive line coach for the Cowboys back when they had an established running game. And we've talked about that in the past as well. He might get back to the type of football that's necessary to win in the NFC East, right? Mm-hmm. That's, you know, the head coach, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with it.
Okay. And now long-term, do you think Bill Callahan's the answer, or do they need to look for another guy at the end of the season?
I think he was asked at his press conference, did he think this was a audition for him? He said, man, I've been coaching football for over 25 years. I've been auditioning for over 25 years. If people can't look at me and tell if I'm coaching that now, they don't know.
Right,
you know,
right,
so that's
right.
He did say one interesting thing, though, and a lot of people took exception to this. When they asked him about Haskins, he said, there's going to be a competition for the starting quarterback position. Mm-hmm. Haskins will not be in it. He's not going to play. We're going to give him more reps than he's been getting. We're going to prepare him better. But for right now, it's going to be between Case and Cole, whoever performs the best, right? And a lot of people are upset because they thought that they should just throw Haskins in there now. You got a new coach, a new situation. But my thing was, if they have not been preparing this kid, which admittedly they have not, if they've not been bringing him along to play, someone has to start doing that. And it would be wrong to just put him out there now without the preparation that he should have been getting over the past 6 months. So I like what he's saying there. I say there's no reason to just throw this kid out there until we sort of stabilize the situation. And once we see what we got and how he's picking it up and what kind of game plan we can develop for him, that's just, you know, I mean, pretty much you know what you got with Colt. You kind of think you know what you got with Case. Let's see what we got, you know. So I think that, you know, contrary to popular belief or whatever you're hearing in the media, I think that this is a good stabilizing move right now.
Okay. And when it comes to some players, this is the second thing that comes up. When Trent Williams, Adrian Peterson, Josh Norman, even Ryan Kerrigan, some guys who may no longer fit here, or if you're starting to rebuild, some guys that you can probably get trade value with, including first-round draft picks and multiple players. Is it time to start moving some guys around? The trade deadline's coming up. Is it time now to say, okay, you know what? It's time to move Trent. It's time to say goodbye to Josh Norman. It's time to say, you know what, Kerrigan, you gave us tons of great play and years of great service. If you want to stick around, we'll bring you back. But if you want to go somewhere and win now, we respect that. We'll send you somewhere. Is it time to start to do Adrian Peterson? Like, hey, you know, even with him, hey, you know, you're a Hall of Famer. If you want to go chase a ring, or you want to go somewhere else where you got a chance to win now, I want to send you somewhere. Is it time to do that?
This might sound crazy, even in this emergency circumstance, but, you know, the season isn't over yet. I mean, they've lost five, but they've got 11 games to go, you know. And, you know, this team has won the division with a 9-7 record, you know. So, And we've seen twice in this town that the team has started out 0-5 and ended up 8-8. Mm-hmm. So right now, I don't think it's time. Right now, I think it's time to see what Callahan can do with what he has on hand, because I'm sure that he was standing there. I mean, you know, like a good soldier, right? You know, a good soldier doesn't, like, go against what the general says. He just follows orders, right?
Correct.
And I'm sure that he had a plan in mind. You know, I'm not saying that he tried to undercut Gruden, stab him in the back, and take his job. Mm-hmm. But he has a way of doing things. I want to see how it works after he's done his thing for a couple of weeks.
Okay. So what you're saying is keep everybody on board. No need to move anyone. Yep. No need to. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's one thing. Now, when it comes to the draft, it's likely the way things are going that the Redskins will have a top five draft pick.
Right.
Do you stray away from the temptation of trying to draft a quarterback, or do you go after a quarterback, or does it depend on what you see in the next few weeks if Haskins even plays?
I think that the talent's on this team. I think they need to strengthen the offensive line. I think that they need to change the defensive scheme. I think that if there's some changes made, there can be some obvious changes. Now, if we go 3 weeks and start to see the same nonsense we've seen for the first 5 weeks, mm-hmm. then, yeah, it's time to lob in the hand grenade, blow everything up, and start from scratch, even drafting a new quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Let there be a competition. Man, way back in the day, I know it's before your time, the Dallas Cowboys used to, before they started signaling plays, then we had radios, they used to alternate quarterbacks. That's how they bring the plays in the game. There's nothing wrong with having two good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Hey, the 49ers, the champion 49ers, had Joe Montana and Steve Young on the team at the same time. Right. Packers had Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre on the team at the same time. There's nothing wrong with having two good quarterbacks and have a competition. You need a pecking order, though. You need to know who the man is, right? You need to establish some order on this team. Now, apparently it's been like my way or the highway for the past however long Gruden has been here. But we need to see what would happen if somebody could straighten this mess out, you know? Mm-hmm. Right now, it's a mess. It's just a mess. The Trent Williams, you brought his name up a little earlier. I think that was beyond football. That was something beyond football. I know they want to talk to him, but I think that, you know, from what I understand, you know, my sources tell me, this is not about money. It's not about the coaching staff. It's something beyond that. And no one else has been fired, if you notice.
Right.
No one else.
Right.
It's just the head coach, which is really strange because some people expected him to be holding the deal for Minuski as he was on the way out, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but that hasn't happened yet. Who knows? Maybe Minuski was being handcuffed.
Hmm.
Who knows?
This is Minuski unchained in the last part of the season.
Right. Unchained. That's right. Who knows? Right? Maybe blitzing 12 people. We just, you know, I hate that this happened with the team that I believe Burgundy and Gold for, right? This is very interesting. I'm very excited. I didn't think I would be this interested in a game against the Miami Dolphins, but mm-hmm. I can hardly wait, man. I can hardly wait.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I'm already predicting a Redskins win. I mean, I predicted that on the show that we did when we did the show.
Yeah. So people forgive us, man, because, we know a lot, but the future is not one of the things we know. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, question. So, is there anything about the Redskins season for you that will change given what just happened?
Yeah, I have a lot. I have hope that I didn't have before. Right, okay. Like my hope is tempered in realism, but at least there's a team there that I can root for. Now, I'm not rooting for my team to go to the Super Bowl, but I'm hoping that people will see a change, and it's not going to happen overnight. But I think that if you see an effort there, or if you see a plan there, a scheme there, if you see something that they're trying to do, if you see a game plan that will work, if you see them using like the talent that they have and say, oh yeah, I know this guy was a good player. If you see player development, that's mm-hmm. the biggest thing with coaching to me. I mean, the game plan is good. You know, but you got, 25 coaches to work together on the game plan. But I want to see player development. I want the coaches to take the raw clay that is an NFL player and mold him and make him better. A player should be better every week. Right. They shouldn't come in and be at the same level they are when they're drafted or when they come in as a free agent. They got to look at the talent that is left here and how they're producing immediately. Every week we can say, you know, somebody who used to be here is doing a good job for another team. We want those guys to do a good job for us. So that would make me hopeful. If I see, yeah, that's what we're talking about. If I see anything better, I'll be happy.
Wow, players and coaches. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, we did a whole show, but we had to interrupt that show in order to do this one to update you on what happened, because that's how fast things changed. Things changed faster with the Redskins than it does with the President Trump tweet on foreign policy. I mean, he says one thing, and then hours later he says something else. Speaking of President Trump, fake news or not's coming up, and you can hear our prediction on whether Gruden would actually last the whole season. We did that before he was actually fired. And so that's coming
up. Now, I'll say this now. I will say this. If they fire Minuski before this airs tonight, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, we're not going to do another show.
No way.
We're just going to have to wait.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, one more thing. Uh-huh. We got to throw this in there. There's two things we got to throw in before we go. I know we're limited on time. Last night when the show was supposed to air, the good thing that happened was we were preempted by the Washington Nationals in the do-or-die situation.
That's right.
And they prevailed over the L.A. Dodgers, so... But not by the time the show airs, but by the time we do our next show, we'll know if the Nats are going to the National League championship game.
Exactly.
Series, rather. We'll know, right? So all I got to say is go Nats. If there's anything that I don't mind the Federal Football Report being interrupted for, that's the Nationals. That's championship baseball.
Exactly.
And, you know, we can't deny that. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, Stanfields, my friends in Canada.
Yeah, didn't
Wrong and Free. I know you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're listening. So, you know, hang in there. We're going to give you, you know, credit where credit's due. But so much is happening now. Wait till we stabilize, like the team stabilizes. We're going to take care of you guys.
Absolutely. We're definitely going to take care of Stanfields. We got to take care of Stanfields.
They take care of us. That's right.
I saw some of your pictures in your international travels, which we cover in segment number 3. I think you were wearing like a Stanfield sweatshirt or something like that.
Yeah, strong and free, standing in front of the Colosseum in Rome.
Exactly.
That's right.
You have to make sure those Europeans know how to roll.
Right. My caption was for the gladiator in all of us.
Exactly. And that's how we do it. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Thank you, Kevin, for this quick amendment to the show that we recorded prior to Jay Gruden getting fired. And so now, radio folks, everything you hear now from here on out is pre-firing. So keep that in mind as you hear the content. So here is Federal Football Report. Segment number 2 of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Also coming soon to Podcast 1, Redskins lose to the Patriots 33-7. Now 0-5 on the season, Patriots 5-0. America, you know what we do in the second segment. You call for it. You practically beg for it. You pay us well to do it. It's fake news or not.
It's time for fake news. Or not.
Three statements. Kevin lets me know whether it's fake news or not. Statement number 1, Jay Gruden, and it seems like it's a question every week. Jay Gruden will last the rest of this season. Fake news or not?
Wait, I got an answer for you.
Or not.
Or maybe I should just do it this way. There might be wishful thinking on my part, though, because no, they're If he does, I don't see how he can be effective in his role. I think that the veterans will like start taking this whole thing personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to go out here and be embarrassed every week,
right?
And that's if he stays here,
you'll be shocked, huh?
That would be news.
If you last the season, that would be news.
That would be news. Then we have to get some whistleblowers or something going in to see why that's happening, right? You know, there's got to be some squid pro quo in there, right?
We demand a federal investigation on this, on the Federal News Network, actually. Figure out what's going on. Statement number 2, Jay Gruden making it through the season. That was a funny question, number 1. Question number 2 on fake news or not. The Washington Redskins, even at 0-5, will not finish last place in the NFC East. That's the Giants' place. Fake news or not?
That's fake news. I know Rodney. I hear Rodney right now.
fake.
No. I looked at the team, and I look at the way they rally behind Daniel Jones, mm-hmm. and we don't have a rally point here. I mean, we got some bright young talent here, mm-hmm. but
Sims, McLaurin,
right,
and Allen, Payne,
even. The Giants had to, I mean, because Eli didn't want to step down, but the Giants management took a bold move and said, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Eli, it's time to put the young
time
guy
to go.
In.
Yeah.
And the team had to respect that.
They had
I mean,
to.
You know, so what is there that lets you think that there's any type of leadership or structured or pecking order around mm-hmm. here, right? It's like it's every man for himself. So that's... Yeah, that's fake news.
Speaking of some of the young talent, I mean, again, guys like Bostic on defense and Holcomb. I mean, you know, you can say there's some young talent, some players who can make some plays out here.
If you put them in the right position.
Got to put them in the right position. And we're seeing that by former players all over the league right now.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see the number that Preston Smith put on the Cowboys, you know, early in that game with the Packers? I mean, you know, the guy played here.
Yeah.
And he's putting pressure and getting sacks and stuff like that and – he wondered, well, why would you let him go if he plays like, you know, who knows?
You know, every week there's somebody who used to play here is putting on
a show somewhere. Absolutely.
I was just saying during the break, Orlando Scandrick, who for some reason couldn't play here, mm-hmm. couldn't play the type of defense that we play here,
mm-hmm.
he plays for the Eagles now, and he had a strip force fumble, ran it back from 49
maybe,
yards
but
for a
maybe
touchdown.
That's what it is. Maybe the people who are even still here can't play the defense that they play here. And no one gets it. No one can play it.
That's right. You guys are just not deep enough to play the defense that we're putting together here.
Exactly. But
that's why you can score touchdowns everywhere else, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but just can't do it here.
There you go. Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. Fake news or not. Statement number three, Dwayne Haskins will play more games this season as a starter than Colt McCoy and Case Keenum?
That's a good question. That is a good question.
Because there's, eight games left.
Eight games left.
Case has started four, and Colt started one.
Right.
So with eight left, he can, you know, all he's got to do is start maybe five or six to kind of do the math. So,
well, you know me and my philosophy. If I'm Dwayne, I'm staying in the little house. A little fold of injury tent, and don't let Gruden see where you are, right? Because you shouldn't want any part of this. And it's a very interesting thing we talked about in our pre-production meeting. He had a press conference, like when they had the press conference.
Yeah, Dwayne Haskins had a press conference.
Dwayne Haskins had a press conference.
And you're like, what is he talking about?
And he said, I wonder whose idea that was. He said, we want Dwayne out there. Dwayne said, what? I didn't do anything. Why do you want to talk to me? And they said, Dwayne, what did you feel about the game? Well, you know, I wanted to win, you know, and really want to win.
I don't like to lose.
Yeah, I don't like losing, and I want
to
win.
I'm glad he doesn't like to lose.
Yeah. What if you said, yeah, man, it was all right. I like losing.
Right. As long as I don't get to play and collect this money, I'm good to go.
Yeah, I'm good. But I really have mixed emotions about that, man. I want that to be fake news. Mm-hmm. I want it to be fake news because I don't think, although, caveat, if that means that there's been a regime change,
okay,
and someone else who has more of a working football mind
comes in and says, "This is our guy who's going to play.
This is our guy, okay. And we're going to tailor the offense around him, and we're going to use the players that work for him." That's very possible. I'm going to say that's news. I'm going to say keep hope alive, and Dwayne's going to start at least six games this year.
But you bring up a great point about this offense and this coach and their schemes, like. I never get why this seems to be one of the only teams in the league that will not change what they do to fit the talent they have around them. Like, to honestly say that, you know, you don't want to play AP and you're working in a different rotation simply because he doesn't play or run the way you want him to. He's an all-star. Like, he's a Hall of Famer. I don't understand that.
Well, you know,
like, why won't they, like, he's clearly the, why wouldn't you make an offense that fits his skill set?
You're not the esoteric type, man. You're not deep enough to understand what the man is putting together here, right?
Adrian Peterson had seven carries. Wendell Smallwood had six.
Did you?
Wendell Smallwood, it sounds like he lives two doors down from me and is a really nice guy. But he's not Adrian Peterson.
The one play where the after the interception, a great defensive play, and we started with the ball on the 1 yard line, and they gave the ball to AP. He was stopped at the goal line, but carried the Patriots
Kevin,
to like the six.
He was stopped. I feel inside the end zone.
Could have been, yeah.
And he carried one, and then two, and then three Patriots another 6 yards.
Right.
Why aren't you playing this guy? Okay, if he's only a north and south runner, maybe you need more north and south running
right,
plays.
Right.
That's what I think. Like,
right.
Like, just looking at it, I'm like, you know what? If I have AP on my team, oh, well, he's more effective running between guard and tackle, or maybe between guard and center, or right behind the guard. Oh, we don't have a lot of plays like that, so we're not going to play him. No, we're going to get some plays like that, and we're going to play him.
Well, we don't need another coach. We need a geography teacher.
Right. To figure out this whole thing. I do not understand
Gruden's
whole situation.
It's almost like they punish him. If he doesn't get over 3 yards in the carry, right. Get out of there. You failed me.
You have failed. One thing that never fails is fake news or not. That was a good segment. They were
yes,
fake news or not, America.
One.
Thank you so much for loving the segment. I mean,
one.
It's crazy. Let's talk a little bit about the Dolphins. I feel like coming up in this third segment, we'll talk a little bit about our international travel.
Yeah,
so
we'll
talk about that.
We should.
So Dolphins coming up. The Redskins, we're looking at the schedule. Oh, great. We get to play the Dolphins. The Dolphins look at the schedule. Oh, great. We get to play the Redskins. This is a game, again, that I believe with everything in me, the Washington Redskins can win. And if it's hard, I'll be ashamed. But it shouldn't even be that hard.
Should not. Where is this game, by the way?
I have to in Miami.
It's in Miami.
Miami. Yeah.
There's no excuse for them not to win this game. But
but
it seems like this team is good for whatever ails most other teams.
It seems like they play to the level of the team they're playing.
Definitely.
No, because they didn't play to the level of Dallas, Chicago, or the Patriots.
No.
I take that back.
No.
But they're better than the Dolphins, I believe, right? Not that the records would indicate that, but I just look on paper and this team has more talent than the Dolphins.
This is a battle of the uns.
Well,
right?
You know, and it's funny, too, because folks are calling it the Tua Bowl, but it's not the Tua Bowl. Yeah. For the Redskins, why would they draft Tua Tagovailoa? And they just drafted Dwayne Haskins last year.
Ask the Cardinals, because they got
Josh Rosen. But then they drafted Kyler Murray, right? By the way, the Cardinals got their first win of the season this week, which is pretty much meaningless. I don't know how good Kyler Murray is going to be in the league.
Yeah, they did. Who was that they beat again?
Cincinnati.
Yeah,
not world beaters themselves.
No,
I mean, they haven't
no.
won a game either. So.
Yeah, really. How about there's a lot of. I wouldn't say undefeated. There's a lot of defeaters
here. Right, yeah, just teams wallowing in defeat, not winning any games.
Kyler's going to have to find another superstar for that team so they can grow together and, youth. The fact that you got so many young players coming up, they're not going to all have the luxury of Dak Prescott, who had an aging Jason Witten on his team and somebody he can lean on. I don't know. I mean, he got Kyler has Larry Fitzgerald, but I just don't know if that's not enough right now.
It's funny too. I'm just thinking about it. Larry Fitzgerald played in one Super Bowl with the Cardinals that was against the Steelers and they lost it.
Right.
Was that Hines Ward that caught that touchdown?
It was. I was thinking Antonio Brown, but I don't remember his name. It was after Hines Ward.
Okay.
It was.
But either way, but other than that, I'm just like, man. I mean, what a great receiver, and to spend his days just in a wasteland in Arizona. I mean, so many great players. You think about great players who have achieved a lot and have won a lot. There's probably just an even greater number of players who, while great, and this probably is across leagues, that just never won the big one.
Right.
Despite being great. And you're like, man, what? Not a waste of a career because, I mean, they accomplished a lot. But, geez Louise, you'd want them to win something, right?
Yeah. You know what? It seems that, like, in NBA, they criticize guys more for not winning a championship like it's their fault, right? Like guys like Barkley and Ewing, right? You know,
Clyde
guys,
Drexler and,
Hall of Fame ball players, right? But, I mean, you got to have the right circumstance. All you can do is do your job and... You look at Jordan, man. He didn't win any championship without Pippen.
People forget that. Like,
yeah.
it must have been, I think, 7 or 8 seasons that Jordan didn't win anything. And then all of a sudden he wins 3 straight, and then he takes a year and a half off, and then it's 2 year left. And then he wins another 3. And people are acting like ever since he got into the league, he's been winning championships.
Right. But he had to have the right circumstance and the right coach.
Right.
And the coach that not only can analyze your team, but analyze the opposition. That's what coaching is. As a matter of fact, that reminds me, I had listened to Grudy at halftime. Maybe I should say Coach Grudy, but I call him Grudy. You know, we had that type of relationship.
JG.
And I guess someone asked him about the difference today, just because the game was close doesn't mean they were playing that great in the first half, right? And they asked him, what was the difference, in his opinion, between the first half and the second half? This was his response, part of it.
You know, we've had really major problems coming out at halftime. And contrary to belief, it's not about second half adjustments. It's about second half mentality. And for whatever.
Hold on. I got to play this again because I don't think the fans heard this. Let me see what Grudy said. You know. Let me just play this again, what he said about halftime.
And for whatever reason, we have gotten.
All right, here we go.
You know, we've had really major problems coming out at halftime. Mm-hmm. And contrary to belief, it's not about second half adjustments. It's about second half mentality.
Huh. So he gave us a news statement and then a fake news statement all in one sentence.
Yeah. Oh, those halftime adjustments are very overrated.
Yeah, contrary to popular belief, our problem isn't second half mentality. Second half adjustments and second half mentality.
That's because somebody probably asked him, Coach, why didn't you make any adjustments?
I don't know what he's talking. What is second half mentality?
Maybe it means there's only 30 minutes left in the game.
I don't understand I have no clue what he's talking about.
I'll let it run this time. Let's see. Maybe he'll have there's a clue as to what he means by this.
You know, we've had really major problems coming out at halftime, and contrary to belief, it's not about second half adjustments. It's about second half mentality. Hmm. And for whatever reason, we have gotten beaten up in the third, fourth quarter of games.
No adjustments.
Penalties, turnovers, lack of third down playmaking.
No adjustments.
Has killed us these first 5 games, and it's got to keep working.
Yeah.
He's naming all these things that are killing them, but maybe it's because the other team is adjusting and you haven't adjusted.
This is back when, what was the guy's name that said that he believed all the leadership stuff was overrated? The quarterback, the guy from Illinois, the bum quarterback that came from the Colts that Daniel Snyder brought in. What was this kid's name?
The
one that nobody liked.
Oh, goodness. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, well, good. We blacked him out.
Yeah, thank goodness. Yeah.
He said that he thought all that quarterback leadership stuff was overrated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what that reminds me of. No, it's not overrated. Everybody else does it, and they're good at it, and it's effective, and they win games. All the stuff that ain't
John Beck? Is he thinking about John Beck?
No. I'm thinking about, I'll think of it during the break. Okay. But Jeff George is the guy I'm thinking about.
Oh, okay. Jeff George.
Yeah, because they interviewed Jeff George about bringing leadership to the quarterback position. He said, yeah, I think that this stuff is overrated.
I see it now. Yeah. Leadership, quarterback's overrated.
Yeah,
so funny.
Yeah. So that's what the halftime adjustments, they're overrated. You know, ask Bill Belichick today if he adjusted anything at halftime.
It just acts, and it came out, it seemed like they did. So in order to beat these Dolphins and get the first win of the season, what do they have to do? Now, again, we had talked about a lot of defeated teams, the winless teams.
Yeah.
The Jets, the Dolphins, the Bengals. Let's see who else.
The Broncos.
The Broncos just got a win.
They what?
They beat the Chargers.
What?
Which was exactly. The Redskins.
Yeah.
Let's see who else. The Falcons only have one win. The Cardinals only have one win. I mean, there are a lot of teams at the bottom of this whole thing.
Buffalo's 3-1.
Buffalo's 3-1.
And they're coming to town later on, I believe, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. Well, we have to play basic football, and that's establish the run, ground up the run, wear your defense down. Then when the defense is worn down a little bit, go up top. With none of this using the pass to establish the run, we have to go back to the real game of football, not fantasy football, not Nintendo football. We got to go back to the real game of football. You know, occupy the clock, occupy the ground, beat your opponent, hit your opponent in the mouth when necessary, and, you know, be physical.
There was someone I spoke to earlier this week who said there was a time when the Redskins would have, you know, paint chips on their helmets, face masks all kind of bent up, dirt all over the jerseys and all over the pants. Like, they would just physically dominate you after a game. And that's not the case anymore. And they got to get back to that kind of, here's what you do to beat the Dolphins. Just beat the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Don't get fancy. Don't pull out all these crazy plays. Do whatever you got to do this play to beat that team. That's what you got to do. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. He's Kevin. I'm Claude. Dolphins coming up. I think the Redskins will win. I'm going to go 24-13.
The Dolphins?
Yeah. I mean, the Redskins
are going
to win.
Wait. I don't know what I was thinking about. I think the Dolphins are going to win. I think the Dolphins are going to win 24-17.
You really think that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that this team is too easy to dissect. And I think that things that other teams want to do are too easily accomplished against this team. Hmm. And I think that this would be the end of the Minuski regime, the Minuski era, you know, on defense on this town. I'm sure he's a nice guy and all, but we need to make a change.
If they don't beat the Dolphins, the next three games before the bye week, the 49ers, a Thursday night matchup against the Vikings, and then at Buffalo.
Oh, so we're going to get Kyle Shanahan, Captain Kirk, and
Buffalo.
And the good Buffalo. But, you know, the game I'm looking for and all that, there's one game I'm looking for of that three you mentioned. And this is this.
I'm Captain Kirk!
Something tell me he's looking forward to that as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's Federal Bar Report. We'll come back on the next segment. No more football for today. We're going to talk a little bit about our international travels. That's
yes,
coming
indeed.
Up next on Federal Football Report. The final segment of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. And, yes, the Federal Football Report, but we're going to talk a little bit about our travels.
That's right.
This is the fifth week, and this is only the second time this year Kevin and I have both been in studio together.
Right.
Week one, we were in studio. Week two, we had Jason on, who's a Cowboys fan. Week three, we had Rodney on,
who's
a Giants fan.
Actually, it was week four.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And this is week
five. It wasn't us, yeah.
Yeah, what happened week two?
What happened week two? Didn't we do something remote week two? Week two was, you know what?
I don't remember.
It's just
this whole season has been a haze and a fog.
It's all been confusing.
Week six
but
coming
we're
up.
We're here now. Week six coming up.
Well, we want to talk a little bit about what we've been doing. Kevin, you were out of town first. Why don't you share where you were and what you did?
Well, we planned this for quite some time. It just so happened to coincide with the Burgundy and Gold season. But my lovely bride and I decided to take a late anniversary trip, and we took a European cruise.
Wow.
Yeah, that was deep, man. And the interesting thing was we started out, we flew to Barcelona, and we stayed there for a day or two for a couple of reasons. Number one, we didn't want to miss the boat.
That's a thing. I mean, you know, I don't cruise a lot, but the one time I did go on a cruise, we did just that. My wife was like, no, we should get there a day early because, you know, you don't want plane delays to stop you. You don't want, like, traffic or just getting up early. Like, get there and be where you got to go so you don't miss it.
We have to, you know, one of those dream sequence things because that almost happened to my family once. We didn't know we were taking the cruise out of Cape Canaveral, right, which is like an hour and a half away from Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And the cruise set sail at 4 o'clock. And we had...
P.M. or...?
P.M.
Okay.
P.M. And we left D.C., left for the airport, got to the airport 7:30 that morning, in line to check our bags, find out the flight's canceled.
Wow.
And for some reason, at this point, there's nobody at the airline who's trying to help us at this point, because we don't know what to do, right?
You know?
Finally, we find, while we're standing in line to get new tickets or whatever, this is like in the advent of cell phone. We didn't have apps and such.
Okay.
We book another flight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we said this was canceled. We book another one, except there's a connecting flight in Charlotte.
Ah.
By the time we get to the counter, we tell the lady our problem. And this is the only reason we made this cruise. I mean, this is a spoiler. Yes, we did make it.
Uh-huh.
The lady was kind enough to put stickers on our bag and said, these bags got to come off the plane first.
Wow.
Right. So bottom line, we got, you know, we got finally got to Orlando, had to rent a car, and then still drive for like 90 minutes.
And book it.
Right. To But see, it was we had to be there by like 3:45.
Sure.
And it's like a little after 3 right now. Mm-hmm. And so basically I made like a 90-minute trip in 43 minutes.
Wow. Wow.
Yes. Yes, yes. My daughters were they were in the back seat, and they said, "Well, we're certainly not in D.C. anymore." There was one thing. There was a lady standing on the side of the road with jumper cables on top of her truck, and we went by her so fast, like one of those cartoons, and she just spun around. So I have to say, yeah, get there a day early. You don't have to go through all that. We got to spend a day in Barcelona, and it was magnificent.
Nice.
It was magnificent. A couple of things I learned. I've never been to Europe before.
Okay.
They don't care nothing about America. I've heard so many things about the they think the people they look down on you. Mm-hmm. They don't care. America is just another dude walking down the street.
Sure, them, right? Sure.
You know. And everybody looks good.
Okay, all right.
They do a lot of walking, and all the women are dolled up like they're ready for a magazine shoot.
Uh-huh, right? Even though they're just going for a cup of coffee or
going
something.
Going for a coffee or working in the grocery store, right? Yeah, uh-huh. Everybody's dolled up. All the guys are wearing, like, soccer shirts.
Okay.
And a fit, right? You know?
Size small, medium.
Yeah. And they're fit. You know, it was really cool. The food was great. Had the best shrimp I've had in my life.
The best shrimp?
The best shrimp in Barcelona because they do these tapas, right? That's where it originated, the small place and stuff. Sightseeing. It's a beautiful city, man. Beautiful. The one thing that's very interesting, or two things. Everyone has a scooter, like a motorized scooter, like a miniature bike.
Like a moped almost.
But a scooter, like, you know, like looking like a little brother to a motorcycle, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
Everybody. Like, you see women in business suits and high heels riding these things. There's so many of these things. I'd say for every two cars is one scooter.
Really? That is a lot.
That looks like motorcycle gangs running up and down the street with these things.
Well-dressed motorcycle gangs.
Right, right. Well-dressed motorcycle gangs. The other thing is graffiti everywhere. Everywhere.
In Barcelona?
There's certain shrines and religious, like cathedrals and things that they don't touch, but everywhere in Barcelona. You don't go two buildings without seeing graffiti.
Wow.
It was an amazing thing. So Barcelona to the ship, MSC Cruise Lines.
Mm-hmm.
Magnificent.
Okay.
Magnificent, right? And we stopped at Corsica, stopped at the Leaning Tower, well, the city, it was La Spezia, I learned how to pronounce it. That's where the Leaning Tower of Pisa is, right? Did a couple little bus tours, right? Went to Rome, went to the Vatican.
Wow.
Yeah. I think the Pope was going to see us, right? But he was busy inside listening to a recording of the Federal Football Report, I heard, right?
Right.
You know? And Mallorca, Spain. This is the last thing I want to say. I don't want to overdo. We can visit it later. I don't know if you ever had gelato.
No.
You haven't. If you had gelato.
You haven't.
You haven't had gelato. Because we were in Genoa, Italy, at one point, and I had some gelato. And I said, this stuff is great.
Uh-huh.
But, man, we were in Rome. I had some gelato. It was strawberry banana gelato. And I felt the flavors going through my bloodstream. This stuff was so good. So good. If you have had gelato, you have not had. You should go to Rome right now.
And get some gelato.
Yeah. It was a fantastic experience. And I know I'm rambling, but I don't know how long I've been talking. But, yeah, it was a fantastic experience, right? So,
Well, that's good, though. I mean, that's great that you got. How long were you gone?
We were gone a total 10 days.
Okay.
10 days. And it was awesome, right?
You ready to come back when it was over, or were you like, I could stay a little longer?
No, and it was interesting because it was a 7-day cruise, and we stopped every day.
Okay.
So every day there was something to do, and we booked two tours. You know, where they picked us up on the bus.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure, where you dock and then they... Yeah.
And then Rome, we tried to do that one on our own, and we missed, like, we were supposed to have a tour of the Vatican Museum, but we kind of missed that. So then they were able to get us in, like, an hour later, because we had time restraints, right? You had to, you know, because the
ship... Got to get back to the ship,
Right. And so we were able to get into the Vatican Museum on our own.
Oh, nice.
And we didn't know what we were looking at, but they got this cool thing where they give you everything had a tiny little number on it.
Okay.
And they give you a headphone with a radio, and you dial the number.
Oh, you hit the number, and then someone tells you. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So you don't have to go in a row.
Yeah.
But the cool part is we got to go to the Sistine Chapel and see, like,
nice.
Michelangelo's handiwork.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always thought that the picture of God touching man, the one that's on the scene, I thought there was like one big picture. It's not. It's like 100 pictures up there, right? And it's like gold. It is beautiful, man.
Yeah. So there's other things up there.
Yes.
But people just usually show that one.
One picture, right? Because I thought it was like one big picture over the whole ceiling.
It's a small little corner.
And if you're standing in the... Yeah, right. If you're standing in the chapel, you can't talk. You can't talk, right? No photos, and you can't talk. You can talk around the outside of it, but if you're right in the middle, you can't talk. Mm-hmm. And they have armed guards to enforce this.
Yeah.
I said, what are you going to do, shoot me in the Sistine Chapel?
Maybe. Yes. That's funny.
But yeah, that was something else. I always took pictures of all the police from everywhere I went because I respect the police, right? You know, and at the Leaning Tower there was a military, man and a woman, both with machine guns.
Wow.
Saying, I take your picture. This one, I said, no, sir.
No, sir. That's funny.
But it was cool, man. That, like I said, being an American, they. Americans are of little consequence to them. Like we thought that we were going to walk in. Yes, we are the Americans. And Americans.
It's funny because Americans do kind of have a lofty view of themselves, yeah. And no one else seems to care or think one way about it, or the other. That's interesting. My wife and I, Sierra, when we were traveling, it was our 10-year anniversary on September 19th.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. And we decided to go to Maui. And by we decided to go, she decided to go. And so I just packed my bags and made sure that I didn't have to go to work. So we got there. Let me tell you, the most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the beach. We stayed at the Grand Wale Resort. The resort was a lot nicer than some of the local parks that we had went to, right. But we took a lot of nice tours, went to the black sand beaches.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. All that stuff. It was gorgeous and clear water. And I mean, it was a really good time. I will say this, the food in Hawaii, I can do without it.
Right.
I can, you know.
Did you do a luau at least?
We did a luau. We did, which was great, but it was about 2.5 hours long.
Oh yeah,
I was over it after the first hour. It's like, okay, I'm ready to go
after the first sandwich.
Exactly. So we did a luau. We took this tour, the road to Hana, which is this tour all the way around the mountain and winding roads, and they stop at waterfalls and stuff. And one of the big waterfalls where they stopped, there were several people in the tour bus behind us that climbed up the rocks and jumped off the waterfall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, brother wasn't doing that.
He said behind us.
Yeah. Like, you guys have fun. I'm not doing that. And so so that was kind of crazy. We played a round of golf, which was great. I loved that. I played. Just rode in the cart, listened to music and, internet and stuff like that. And we spent a lot of time just relaxing. Now, here's the thing, too. Now, Hawaii has 6-hour time difference from the East Coast.
Yeah.
So I'll wake up on Saturday morning, 6 a.m. breakfast. Well, number one, I was getting up at like 4 in the morning because of the time difference, 3 in the morning. But I'm getting ready for breakfast. 6 a.m. on Saturday, college football's on. So, I mean, I'm up at 6 and I'm watching football. Same thing with the pros. And so there were some restaurants that opened up on Sundays at 7 and were starting like happy hour stuff because football was on. So that was great. I loved that. So we did some of that touristy stuff and spent a lot of time at the beaches and stuff, and it was great. I enjoyed it.
One thing I noticed, we haven't been to Maui, we have been to Kauai and Honolulu, and I noticed that there is a tremendous pride that the natives have in
absolutely.
Their culture.
It's, absolutely.
They're mm-hmm. proud. They're proud to have you come and experience
yes.
it.
Yes.
And
yes.
they're proud to be an islander.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. No, and I noticed that too. And everyone speaks about where they're from and give you, heritage and stuff like that. And it was really cool to learn. I mean, it almost as if they're not a part of the United States
right.
because they totally just kept their culture and their stories lives on and the culture lives on and how they do things. It was great. It was a great experience.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Everybody should go just to learn that because, number one, we misled you because we said everybody international, Hawaii is part of the United States. Right.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know it.
You wouldn't. The way they treat you and the way things are, you wouldn't know it. And it was great. It was awesome. I loved it. 100%. And I think that does it for our travels, right?
Yeah, I mean, we could do a whole show, you know, the Federal Football Travel Show and all that, but we are limited, you know, Lisa Wolf is limited.
To just an hour show.
But we wish we could tell you more, right? But, we got a job to do. I will say this, though. We tried hard. We had data plans on the ship because, you know, you get that roaming charge and stuff out there. We tried to listen because the Washington-Dallas game happened. Let's see now.
Did you get a chance to watch that?
It was cool. The ship was a tremendous ship. They had the sports bar on the ship.
Nice.
This thing was like something I had never seen before because they had like the bar in the round in the middle of a big screen, but then they had individual pods that you can take your pod into.
Wow.
All this was free, right? Mm-hmm. So I went in like the day before and I asked them because it would have been like 9 o'clock at night where we were in the Mediterranean, right, to see the game. And I asked the dude, hey, man, you got to show American football? He said, no, sir.
Really?
No, sir. He said, we got Italian soccer, English soccer, and Spain.
Was the sports bar still packed with all the people watching?
Yes. And they were into it. The only thing they did show, they showed a replay of an NBA game, a replay of Milwaukee and Boston. Right, you know. Well, why is that? You know,
right? That's random.
Well, because you got gosh, what's the guy's name?
Oh, Giannis.
Giannis, and you also got the guys that played. One played for the Lakers. The other played for the championship team. Played for Toronto. The brothers, Gasols.
Right.
So they're into the NBA, right? You know, but American football?
We're not watching that foolishness.
Surely
you jest. Okay.
But it was great. It's good that, you know, I appreciate, being able to do that with Maria, my lovely wife. And, God willing, we're going to do it again as soon as possible.
I was going to say, yes, so that's something you want to do again.
Definitely.
Nice. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. We'll come back next week, and hopefully we'll talk about a win against the Dolphins.
I hope so.
Now, we'll catch you guys next week.